Thank you, Bev, and our ushers, and everyone's had a part in leading our service. We're glad for your ministry today. Thank you. Some of you may remember that back at the beginning of January, we talked about, are you a seeker or a sitter? I don't know if some of you were here for that. Well, today we're going to talk about the opposite. We're going to talk about leaving Jesus, what that means. But before we turn to the Word of God, will you join me as we talk to the God of the Word? Our Father God, we do pray today for, first of all, for our country and for our leaders. Pray for our military and first responders, for protection, for wisdom, as they do their difficult tasks. Lord, we pray for the nation of Israel. You've told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We also pray today for ourselves. We need a word from you. Speak to us through your holy word. Give us ears to hear the Spirit as he speaks. Teach us something new. Encourage us. Remind us of what we need to obey. Show us Jesus. Because we ask in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, it's just been a month since Christmas. But a lot of people's favorite Christmas movie is Home Alone. Have you all seen Home Alone?
Yes.
I don't know, but it's been 30 or more years since that thing came out. But it's the all-time top-grossing live-action comedy, did he tell me? And I think this year they made a commercial with the child star in it. He's now grown up. Maybe you saw that. Okay. Now we say, well, that's just a movie, you know, leaving your son at home while you fly off on vacation at Christmas time. Is it really just fiction, or could it be maybe more realistic? You know what? It's heartbreaking every time we read about a child being left in a hot car by a parent. That's been happening in America. One man rushing to catch a train to work left his baby. Is it possible we get so busy that we get distracted enough to forget a child in a car? I mean, that boggles my mind. I don't know how that happens, but it's been happening in America. Well, today I want to look at a time when Jesus was accidentally left behind. Imagine leaving Jesus. But you know what? Leaving Jesus is easier to do than you might think. Folks, I wouldn't be surprised if some of you here today don't know where Jesus is in your life. I hope that's not you. But if it is, are you willing to do something to change it? Many people know the story about Jesus' childhood. The Gospel of Luke, interestingly, gives the only account we have of Jesus' childhood. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at 39, verses 39 to 52. And I'm going to be using the New International Version. And this passage we're looking at comes right after Joseph and Mary had presented the baby Jesus in the temple, as the law demanded that they do. And if you remember, back in December, I actually preached on that one Sunday. It was called Waiting for Christmas. If you didn't hear that, you can go back and listen to it online if you like. But you remember that when Mary presented her baby, this old guy, Simeon, came and grabbed the baby. You remember that? And then Anna, the prophetess, came up and prophesied about baby Jesus. Well, this happens right after that. So we're going to pick it up in verse 39. The Bible says that when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Now, so stop there. You remember what the Passover is? The Passover is this big celebration that Israel had every year to celebrate their exodus, the deliverance from Egypt led by Moses. Okay, this is a big deal. It's like our Christmas and Easter together. Okay, so they went up for the Passover to Jerusalem. And verse 42 says, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And then it says, after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And then it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." He said, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the word of God for his people today. Well, this amazing story from Jesus' early life, we find an example of what we need to do if we've left Jesus behind. Because, folks, if you've left Jesus, you need to find him again, I would just suggest. If you've left Jesus, you need to find him again. So what should we do? Well, the first step, and the one we often overlook, is, number one, to realize that you have left Jesus behind. Recognize that you've left him. Now, where did they lose Jesus? They lost Jesus in Jerusalem during one of the busiest festivals of the year. The law of Moses required all Jewish men to go to the Jerusalem temple three times a year, the feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. But as the Jewish people spread out through the Roman Empire and got further away, it became more and more difficult. In fact, it was impossible. So the tradition was for Jewish men to go to Jerusalem at least once a year. Now, in the Jewish culture, a 13-year-old boy becomes a man at a ceremony called his bar mitzvah. Some of you have heard of that. That means son of the covenant ceremony. Boys 11 and 12 years old also went with their fathers to the temple before that to learn about their faith. So, Joseph took his family to Jerusalem on Passover to fulfill his duty. And on one of those journeys, they left Jesus behind. Now, you might think that Mary and Joseph were totally irresponsible and neglected their parental duties. I mean, imagine traveling for a whole day and not knowing that you'd left a 12-year-old behind. How's that possible? Well, before you condemn them, I want you to consider that in ancient times, people traveled in caravans. No, not the minivan. Okay. A caravan was a group of people traveling together for security. Now, back in those times, there were bandits on the roads. People could be assaulted and robbed. We have the parable of the Good Samaritan that reminds us of that, okay? So they would travel together. Time would go faster. The children would have somebody to play together with as they traveled. Not only that, but the women often traveled separately from the men. The women and the young children walked slower than the men, so they would usually set off as a group first. And then the men would leave a couple hours later, catch up with them by evening, and set up camp for the night. Now, you can imagine that because Jesus was almost a man, Mary may very well have thought that Jesus was traveling with Joseph. And because he was still a boy, Joseph may very well have thought that Jesus was traveling with Mary. And it was only at the end of the day, when they got together, that they may have realized Jesus was missing. Now just imagine how they felt for 3 days, frantically searching for Jesus. I mean, they'd lost the Son of God. How could that be? Now, let me suggest to you that perhaps it was because they were preoccupied in their busyness. Ever taken a trip? Stuff to get together. You got to make sure you have this, that, and the other thing, right? We're busy. Can preoccupy us. Now, there's nothing wrong with what they were doing. They obeyed the law of God. They'd gone to Jerusalem. They'd worshipped at the temple, but in their preoccupation with the journey, they'd lost track of Jesus. How? Well, because what they were involved with, the journey home, wasn't the priority for Jesus. They left him behind because they were distracted in what they were doing. James Dobson has said, the problem with life is that it's so daily, right? What we get doing sometimes is so distracting. But I wonder, what about you? Have you left Jesus? Have you forgotten him? Have you maybe taken him for granted? What his parents did reminds us how we can leave Jesus behind because our priorities in life are not the same as Jesus' priorities. They've been worshiping God, but then they moved on to the next thing, the trip home. Rather than be preoccupied with our own priorities and programs, we need to be sure that our priorities line up with what's important to God. When was the last time you came to church early to prepare your heart and mind to meet with God? When was the last time you set aside part of a day or took a day off to pray and study God's Word? You know what? For many people, they would stop and say, if they're honest, you know what? It was when I went to camp as a teenager. Because we get so busy adulting, don't we? How easy it is for us to be distracted from time with God. We fill our lives with many good things, just like Mary and Joseph did. But we leave Jesus behind because many of the good things that distract us aren't important to Him. Bang! The starting pistol goes off in the race of life, and we're off and running in that rat race, aren't we? Every day, the alarm clock goes off. We got to get up. We got to get ready. We got to go to work, go to school. Doing our own thing while we leave Jesus behind doing God's thing, like Mary and Joseph. It's an interesting story that one day Satan called for a convention of demons. And he said, you know, we can't keep Christians from going to church, reading their Bibles, or knowing the truth. We can't keep them from forming a personal relationship with Jesus as his Savior. And once they develop that relationship with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So, just let them go to church, let them have their dinners, but steal their time so that they never develop a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, how can we do that, as demons demanded? He said, well, keep them busy in life's non-essentials. Invent countless worries to occupy their minds. He said, tempt them to spend, and borrow, persuade wives to go to work for long hours and husbands to work 6 to 7 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day, so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them on the run as families cave in under the pressure. Soon their homes will offer no escape from the stress of life. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still small voice of God. Convince them to play music wherever they go, to keep the TV on and to text on their phones constantly while talking to friends on Facebook. It'll jam their minds. It'll block their union with Christ. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from vacations too exhausted. Keep them too busy to enjoy God's creation. Send them to amusement parks, sports, concerts, and movies. Keep them busy, 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 busy. Crowd their lives with so many good activities, they have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the activities. It will work! It will work! He exclaimed. It was quite a plan. And I guess the question is, has the devil been successful with his scheme in your life and mine? You be the judge. Well, anyway, back to Mary and Joseph. So Mary and Joseph found Jesus doing what? Doing God's thing. And that raises the question, what is God's thing for us? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, the Bible says that we begin to do it by worshiping God only, by following Jesus, and then by giving Him our praise, our honor, our tithe, our talent, and our time. People today worship Jesus plus a lot of other things. They worship Jesus plus money, or Jesus plus the weekends, or Jesus plus family, or Jesus plus sports. There's so many other things that we can worship plus Jesus. But we need to be sure that God comes first in our life. We continued by being disciplined. That is, we glorify God by becoming like Him, obeying Him, learning His will for us. And then we glorify God by fellowship with other believers, by looking after those around us, and by working together as the body of Christ. And then we glorify God by serving Him, by serving the church and those around us. Folks, we are made to serve, aren't we? We're made to serve. Now lastly, we glorify God by getting back on mission. The work of telling other people about God's love for them. I like the title of this book, Just Walk Across the Room. It's so hard to do that sometimes. Just walk up to somebody and say hi and start a conversation and pray for the opportunity to share your story about how God has changed your life and given you hope and peace and joy. So I wonder today, have you left Jesus behind? For some, he may have been with you at one time, close and personal, but now, if you're honest, you would say, well, God seems far away, seems distant. Folks, if we've left Jesus, we need to find him again. So the first step is to realize that we've left Jesus. Once we realize that, the second step is to start searching for him, to look for him. Now, where did Mary and Joseph look for Jesus? Well, they first looked for Jesus among their friends and relatives, right? Could their friends and relatives help in their search for Jesus? No, he wasn't with them. Mary and Joseph had to find Jesus themselves, and so do we. So often we try to have a copycat relationship with God, imitating the relationship that a friend or relative has with Jesus. Some people think, well, you know, my mother and father were very religious, and they took me to Sunday school when I was a child, and so if I go to Sunday school and church and do all the good things my parents did, then I'll find Jesus. That's called borrowing someone else's faith to make it your own. And if you remember way, way back when I did the chairs on the platform, a secondhand faith really isn't faith, is it? Secondhand faith isn't really faith at all. Folks, Jesus is a personal Savior. Each one of us has to find him personally and follow him personally. For Mary and Joseph, that meant going back to where they left him. It meant remembering what it was that Jesus was interested in. Where are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for him? For some, it may take some time. For Mary and Joseph, it was 3 days before they located him. Imagine, they were distressed. They looked all over Jerusalem. They asked everyone they knew. Mary was distraught, no doubt. You know, imagine, those of you that mothers, I've lost my baby. I've lost my precious one. And then there was Joseph. Hang on, you think you're upset. We've lost God's son. How do you think he feels about this? We're doomed, you know? But success was delayed. Why? Because they looked in the wrong places. Today, people look for Jesus in all kinds of ways. They look for him in emotional experiences, and social reform, self-help books. But he's rarely found there. That's not where he hangs out. If we want Jesus, we must look in the right place. Know what's important to him. So Mary and Joseph eventually find Jesus in the temple. And when they find him, their emotional frustration was evident. Look at what Mary said. She said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Isn't that the understatement of the year? It's sad how often we blame God for our wandering off. In effect, they were saying, "Why did you leave us, Jesus?" when in fact it was the other way around. They'd left him. He never puts distance between us and our relationship. No, it's always us. The mistakes we make, the wandering off that we do, that damages our relationship with him. So, stop and think for a minute. Where are you in your search for Jesus? Are you getting closer? Every day? I hope so. I hope so. If not, it's not too late to turn around and move toward him. Okay, so if you want to find Jesus in your life, you must first realize what? That you've been leaving him. The second step is to start searching for him. The last step we're going to look at today in this story is finding Jesus. Because if you leave Jesus, you need to find him. Where did they find Jesus? Where was Jesus found? He was found in the temple. He was found in the temple. And you know what? The very first recorded words of our Savior are here in verse 29. "Why were you searching for me?" he said. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Here Jesus was in his heavenly Father's house, not Joseph's house. What was he doing? He was with the teachers, learning all there was to know about God. His questions showed interest, insight, understanding way beyond his years as he sat glued to the teaching, glued to their every word, learning and becoming more like his heavenly Father. Now, some of you, if you're thoughtful, you're wondering, wasn't Jesus God? Didn't he already know everything? I mean, you students would give anything to be Jesus, right? I mean, think about it. Here comes a rabbi. You're in school. The rabbi comes in and he says, okay, students, time for a pop quiz. And everybody groans except Jesus, because Jesus got 100% reading, 100% writing, 100% arithmetic, right? 100% history, everything. That's Jesus. Easy. He was God. He knew it all. But he didn't. The Bible says Jesus gave up the benefits of his divinity and became a man. As a baby, he was as helpless as any of us. Think about that. Think about that when you look at Kaysen today. Jesus was a baby just like that. As he grew, he learned. He learned practical things like how to feed himself, how to help his parents. But more than that, he learned spiritual things about God. How to live for God. In fact, if you want to go back on the website and listen to the first message I preached this year, Christmas Revisited, we looked at Philippians 2 and talked about what that meant, what Jesus gave up to become our Savior. As a boy on the verge of manhood, Jesus was kind of like a sponge here, soaking in God's Word, memorizing God's ways, and he became a student. What about you? Where will you find Jesus? Folks, if we've left Jesus behind, you need to find him. You need to find him. The first step is an act of faith. You need to admit that you've made mistakes. That's what the Bible calls being a sinner. We've made mistakes. We've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. And then we need to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sin, that he's our Savior, that we can be forgiven by putting our faith in him. And then you need to confess him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you will do that, you can become a child of God this very day. And if you've got questions about that, good, let me know. It's not bad to ask questions. The Bible has the answers. And I'll be glad to sit down with you and show you what the Bible says. And then if learning was a priority for Jesus, shouldn't it be a priority for us? Tell me, how do you learn about God? You say, well, I go to Sunday services. Good, we're glad you're here every Sunday. But do you practice what you learn? Do you have maybe a daily quiet time where you meditate on God's Word? I hope so. Once you start doing that, you don't want to give it up, let me tell you. It's like my sanity time, you know. Then maybe are you in an adult Bible fellowship or a small group where the focus is on understanding the Bible and obeying God? Many people are just too busy. We're just too busy. It's good to take the time. Take the time to study God's Word. I want to challenge you today that to find Jesus, you might have to change your priorities and adopt his priorities. The Bible teaches us that worship, prayer, discipleship, fellowship, ministry, evangelism, telling other people about Christ, those are God's priorities. Do you know where we find Jesus as a church, folks? We find him in prayer, when we pray together. He said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. That's why we take the time to pray every Sunday as a church. What happens when we pray should be the gauge of which we judge success or failure. Here's a biblical principle. I like this one. Much prayer, much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. No prayer, no blessing. Our problem is we give up too soon. You say, well, what should I do? Well, I like this acrostic, push. Pray until something happens. Isn't that good? Write that down. Don't forget that. Pray until something happens. A lot of people give up. Jesus said that we should always pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. Folks, if we plan and organize, we get what people can do. But when we pray, we get what God can do. I don't know about you, but I need God to work in my life. Amen? I know some of you do too. I know it's difficult, but if we're serious about finding Jesus and not leaving Jesus behind, praying together is one of the best ways to do it. So what about you? Have you left Jesus, left him behind because your priorities are different than his? If that's the case, you need to stop, turn around, and start searching for him. Search until you find him. Turn from your distractions and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Are you looking for him? I guarantee you will find him if you spend time in God's Word and pray. Start with the Gospel of John. That's a good place to start in the New Testament. You'll find Jesus there. And when you find him, trust him with your whole heart. Find Jesus and don't leave him again. Will you commit to doing that now? What if you're comfortable? Maybe you feel as though Jesus is safe and secure with you. For you, I have a warning. It may be only a matter of time till you drift away. What are you doing to be sure that your priorities line up with His every day? We have a little devotional diet, our daily bread in the back. They're free. Pick one up. I read that every morning. Every morning to keep my mind focused on God and His Word. Folks, there's nothing else that can take Jesus' place. You need Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus plus anything else is dead idolatry. Let me illustrate. One day, a foolish old farmer decided to feed his mule something different. He decided oats was costing him too much. So he decided to mix a little sawdust in with the oats. He did it one day and then a little more the next day. And strangely, the mule didn't seem to notice the gradual change. So the farmer thought things were going fine. He kept decreasing the amount of oats and increasing the amount of sawdust. But weeks later, on the day that he finally fed the poor beast nothing but sawdust, the mule finished eating and fell over dead. Friends, nothing can take the place of your relationship with Jesus Christ. We try substituting things sometimes, but nothing can take His place. Be on guard against moving or drifting away from Him. The change is ever so subtle, it's hardly noticeable at first, until our spiritual life collapses around us. Have you lost Jesus? Find Him. Find Him. The Bible says, "You will seek Me and find Me when you seek with Me. Seek for Me with your whole heart." Will you come back to Jesus today? If you've left Jesus, you need to find Him. You need to find Him now. Now maybe you'd say, well, I've tried and I've failed, and here's why. Because maybe you think you need to be like the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul for God to accept you. But the flesh is weak and we really can't do it on our own. Oh, but let me tell you something. There's one who did it for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He did it on our behalf and in our place, if we believe in Him, we'll begin to be able to do it as well as we understand what He did for us. And because Jesus lived the life that we should have lived and died the death we should have died, you and I can be justified by faith alone and not by works. We can receive His righteousness as a free gift. Folks, listen to me. I used to think the Bible was all about me and what I needed to do. And then one day I understood that the Bible isn't about me. It's about Jesus and what He already did for all of us. And that salvation is a free gift. And becoming God's child is a free gift. And whether you call yourself a Christian or not, the solution to our problem with sin and failure is the same. We need to stop trusting in ourselves and put our trust in Jesus and what He's already done. Will you do that today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this example from Your Word about how, if we've left You, we need to turn around and start searching for You, just like Mary and Joseph did. And Lord, I don't know where everyone is here today, but I pray that wherever they are in their walk with You, that You will encourage them today through Your Word to take the next step toward Jesus, to keep moving closer to Him, and to experience His love and His forgiveness and His peace. Lord, thank You. Thank You for the salvation that is ours in Christ. Thank You for this church. Thank You for its commitment to Your Word. Lord, help us to be little road signs pointing to people to Jesus every day who need Him. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.